Surprise, Auburn adds another stud to their 2024 class.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 39 of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're going to get after it this morning. You had a big commitment late at night. Last night, you wake up to a surprise. We're going to break that one down, talk about a football portal edition and how we're going to round this roster out, finish this roster off, and then have a little basketball portal talk. We got some visits this week for some pretty high-end portal prospects. So, but before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Look, you've been hearing me talk about it. If you're not ready to go ahead and reach out to him 100%, you know, call him, go ahead and get that conversation started. You can check out his check out his television show, Retirement Results. If you're in the Huntsville area, you can find it on WZDX. I believe it's typically around 12 o'clock on Sundays. Or you can check them out if you're in the Columbus, Georgia area, or you pick up that Columbus, Georgia, you know, feed on your local channels. You can check him out at WXTX. They're both on channel 54 for whatever you're looking at there. But yeah, they're going to discuss a lot of the different topics that they have, products, strategies, different things like that. The most recent, you know, financial news updates, different things like that. So be sure to check him out. You can kind of get a taste. And then if you like what you see, obviously reach out to him. If nothing else, just to tell him War Eagle, but definitely see what he has to offer and how he can help you get you where you need to be. Ford Stokes, activewealth.com. Boom goes the dynamite. Auburn in the middle of the night, it seemed, right before I was going to lay my head to bed on the pillow, you get the notification. Auburn lands four-star linebacker Tyler Lockhart, who I'm going to be completely honest, I didn't really know existed. until late last night, because it was someone that was somewhat out of the blue, someone that, you know, he has visited Auburn. You go back and look, he did visit Auburn about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but you didn't really feel like Auburn had a lot of a foothold here. You kind of felt like he was going to be a Mississippi State product or an Alabama guy. I think he was a huge, massive priority for both, but all of a sudden he pulls the trigger in the middle of the night to play for the Auburn Tigers. And I mean, when you get the notification, you're not 100% sure who it is. Automatically, you're thinking it's probably not a very highly ranked guy, because typically there's a lot of buzz. There's a lot of lead up to it. So I didn't think too much about it, but you go look it up and it turns out this kid is a top 150 player, a high four-star guy at a position that we need, another linebacker. And you look at his measurables, and depending on what site you're looking at, you're talking 6'3", 6'4", 200, you know, as a, you know, upcoming senior, which is very, very, very nice. Nice frame, very long, very athletic. And then you start to get into his highlights. And if you're like me, when you get a commit, you got to go watch the huddle every single time. You got to go check out the huddle and check out all their, you know, obviously all their best plays. But you go and you look, and he plays an outside linebacker position at his school, Winona. I think it's Winona Secondary School. Yeah, Winona Secondary School in Winona, Mississippi. And he's playing outside in space, like in space a lot. He rushes the passer. He's closing speed's incredible. Just a very big, a very big and athletic linebacker that you can add to this class. You really don't have a lot of true linebackers yet in this class. You just have, you know, you have Ja'Caleb Falk, who's probably going to be, you know, more of an edge. And then you have this guy who can play maybe in the middle, maybe a little outside. We'll just have to see how that comes. But that's really all you have for this class. So two guys that you have that are sort of multifaceted. They can do multiple things, rush the passer, drop back in coverage, stuff the run. Run sideline to sideline, and then it's going to be, you know, you'd love to stack up a bunch of those guys. Give me, you know, give me three or four or five of those guys every single class, and I'll put you and you'll see a pretty good defense on the field. So big addition. This is what's crazy to me. So number one, he has a brother, I think, that is actually on the roster at Mississippi State. Winona is probably 30 to 45 minutes, if that, outside of Starkville. And, you know, Starkville is in close proximity to Tuscaloosa. So you're talking maybe an hour and a half at most to Tuscaloosa from Winona. And he picks Auburn. And he was a massive priority. You've seen videos of Kane Womack sending him, like, video texts from practice. Can't wait to get you here. Huge priority. And then Auburn goes in, DJ Durkin. I believe DJ Durkin kind of led the charge on this one. But also you saw Josh Aldridge chime in this morning that he was pretty – obviously, he was excited as well. So DJ Durkin, Josh Aldridge, that is a great tandem of guys getting after linebackers. They're very good recruiters. And Josh Aldridge's involvement makes me think this guy's going to play a little bit of – he's going to have some pass rush in his game. He's going to have some pass rush, you know, that's going to be part of the position that he plays, because obviously that's Josh Aldridge's room. So big, big addition. And, you know, it was kind of – we've been kind of on a cold streak as far as having commits and things like that. And you actually had another decommit from Hollis Davidson, who was a tight end. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But big time for momentum. You're about to start having – June is close, and June is going to be a big official visit month. You got a bunch of guys coming in June that have already got – they've already set visits. Another funny thing in the house, much a surprise this was, Mississippi State's board, like message boards and everybody's pretty much melting down over this. That they – you saw – there had several crystal ball picks for Mississippi State for this kid for quite a long time. And at one point, I think last week, someone dug up an old post that says, hey, should we worry about Auburn? And I think the guy said something like, I have zero worries about the Tigers, and I wouldn't be surprised if he canceled his visit. So not only did he not cancel his visit, he went ahead and committed to the Tigers, which I think that's great. But that just shows you how, you know, how this staff put the heat to him and went ahead and got him to pop in this class. So What a fun recruiting staff this is going to be. Again, you just feel like you're in it with everybody. You feel like there's nobody that's, I guess, out of reach. You just got a chance to just continually stack, continually add dudes. And we're still way ahead of where we were last year. I think last year, right around the Perry and the Riddick flip is when things really kicked off and you started having a domino effect. But I think still we're ahead of even that point last year. So, you know, there's several guys that I still feel like commits are imminent for. You know, you still feel like you're in a really good spot with Anquan Fagans. You still feel like you're in a great spot for Eric Winters. You feel like you're in a good spot for Zion Grady. There's several guys that you feel like you're in a really good spot. Jacoby Ward, interior offensive lineman. There's just all these dudes. Broderick Scholl, that's another guy. Those are four or five guys right there that are all extremely highly coveted players that you feel like you're in a great, great spot for. And then, you know, you had Caleb Cunningham, who was fired up about this commitment as well. He's a five-star receiver from Mississippi. Just being able to go in and get kids from Mississippi, you know, the Hugh Freeze connection there, that's a underrated talent-rich state, that's hard to a lot of times to get kids to leave. It's hard to get kids to leave Mississippi. And so anytime you can add those dudes, I just feel like they're mean, especially defensive guys. I just feel like they're mean. They're ready to play, and they're ready to play tough. So give me a bunch of Mississippi kids and you know, sprinkle in some Georgia kids and some Alabama kids and some Florida kids, and I'm fired up. So what great news to wake up to tonight. Hopefully, if you caught it last night, even better. If you cash in a little early, you missed it. If you went to bed a little bit early, you missed it. But he popped last night. Tyler Lockhart, massive, massive addition to this class. And hopefully this gets the ball rolling for a big start to the summer. As far as visits and stuff go. Now, we did lose a commit. Hollis Davidson. He was a tight end, I believe, from Georgia. We had two tight ends committed. This was going to be a big year that we needed to add multiple tight ends, because if you think about it, you already lost Tyler Fromm to the portal, but you lose basically everybody that you have on your roster that plays tight end. So minus Rico Walker, who is you brought in as a portal addition last year. He's basically the only – I guess you still got Micah. You've got Micah Riley as well. So, but you lose – you know, you lose your Brandon Frazier's, you lose your Rivaldo Fairweather's, you lose your Luke Deals, all these guys that have been here forever. You lose a bunch of guys. So you felt like you're probably going to have to bring in, you know, a handful, two or maybe even three tight ends. But so Hollis Davidson was one of those. He decommits. You still got Ryan Gee, or yeah, Gee, who's a, you know, very talented kid, Milton High School in Georgia. He's got a teammate we're after. So you lose Hollis Davidson. So you're like, man, what are we going to do there? It turns out, yeah, you know, the emergence sort of Rico Walker was sort of a flyer, I guess, that you could take a guy that's very athletic but just really raw, and you bring him in, and you don't really know what you're going to get. You just know that you got the clay there to mold it. And I think he had a very, very good spring and sort of opened a lot of eyes, and maybe as well as Micah Riley, and you're thinking maybe. Maybe you don't necessarily have to bring in, you know, three high school guys. Maybe you don't necessarily have to put such a huge priority on bringing in three high school guys. So I don't know if that played into it, but I'm sure it had to have at least something to do with this departure. So we'll see what happens with Hollis Davidson. But, I mean, Auburn's still after another tight end that they're looking to add, possibly from California, who's going to come in on an official visit. I believe his name's Caleb Edwards. He's a high four-star freakish tight end that he's actually been here before, and he's kind of – I think he's set for an official visit in June as well. So there's a lot of little pieces that you can kind of glean some clues from as far as how that room's going to play out. I don't think this is a – you know, I loved Hollis's game. I thought he was a really good tight – I thought he was a really good tight end. He's a little bit more of a dual threat, so to speak. Ryan Gee, is not going to be your, you know, four or five receptions a game type tight end. He's going to be more of your Luke Deal role, your H-back, blocking back. Hollis could do a little bit of both. Caleb Edwards can do it all, and he can line up on the outside and beat you deep as well. So Rico's progression through the spring, I think, has led to a lot of more comfortable, you know, being comfortable, because you kind of roll into next year with Micah Riley and Rico, which is really good. And then can bring in, you know, at least maybe two tight ends to kind of develop, maybe redshirt, maybe play a little bit sparingly and sort of take over in the future. So you lose a commit, Hollis Davidson. Don't think it's a huge blow. Hate to see him go, but you got to see how this rest of the class plays out. Because again, I think you got a really good shot at adding another high four-star tied in from California. We'll see how that visit goes. But you add Tyler Lockhart, massive, massive guy, surprise. And you jump up to the fourth class in the SEC. You move up a spot as far as recruiting rankings go there. But the drop one, add one doesn't give you that huge jump, because we really only – you basically only replaced the points plus a little bit with Tyler Lockhart over – Hollis Davidson, because I think he was like a, you know, higher three-star rated kid, but you replace that. So you don't get the full bump that you would get, but you get a little bit of a bump. You jump to the fourth class in the SEC. I think right now number 9 overall. But again, if you start popping off a lot of those kids I named, you're going to see the recruiting rankings sort of skyrocket. And, you know, maybe Big Cat Weekend looming could be something that you see as a big sort of commit fest. But the 2024 class so far is looking great, ahead of schedule. Very, very excited. I encourage everybody to go check out Tyler's film, because it's impressive. It'll get you excited. Hey, I'm never not going to be excited about a 6'3", 6'4", 200-pound linebacker addition. So big commit and something definitely to get excited about. All right, moving on, as far as your 2024 roster goes, football roster goes, you add a portal addition. Not someone that's going, you feel like is going to be just game changing, give you an extra win, but someone great to add to that roster to sort of round out your offensive line room. Ronan Chambers, he's only got 1 year left to play, an offensive tackle from Akron, played a ton of football. He joins his class. He went into the portal and immediately committed to Tulane, and then Auburn flips him, and he went ahead and signed. He went ahead and signed with Auburn immediately. That was announced, and he'll be the last offensive lineman on this roster for 2024. So Hugh said that he always likes to carry 16 offensive linemen, and this guy makes 16. Now, from his perspective, from Ronan's perspective, I don't get the play to come to Auburn. I'm very excited. I'm very happy that he came to Auburn. But I just don't know that you're going to see this. This is not a guy that's going to be battling for, you know, starting reps, I don't believe. I think this is going to be a guy that can be a solid right tackle backup, you know, maybe left tackle, maybe just be that fourth or third, three and a half offensive lineman, because you feel like Tyler Johnston is your third tackle. This kid could be your three and a half to fourth tackle. And I don't think that fourth tackle was really solidified. Of who that would be. So you add this kid, it gives you depth there, really helps you on special teams. I think this is very underrated. Think about how many times you punt in a game, how many times you kick a field goal in a game, how many of those just chances for injury, chances for exposure to some of your top linemen, how many times those happen, and now you got a kid that can come in and play those, take those snaps away, and sort of keep your top guys, your starters fresh, your starters safe. I think that's where the biggest impact is. I think it really helps special teams. Maybe not necessarily make your special teams better, but it's a guy that can be serviceable, that can keep people healthy, keep people off the field that you need to have more snaps on offense. So I think that's really underrated. I think that's really underrated, his impact that he could have there on special teams. So that gives you, I believe that gives you somewhere around 78 or 79 scholarships, because maybe 79, I think that's right, 79, because you only have six spots open that you could add. That's after, you know, counting all the incoming freshmen that'll be here in the summer and everything. You're still six spots short. I don't think that's necessarily going to be abnormal moving forward. I think with the way the portal is in college football, I think I mentioned this on the last show, I feel like if you can get over 80 scholarships, you're probably doing pretty good. And especially if they're all, you know, decent guys that can help you out. I'll be anxious to see how the rest of the portal comes out, because you really only have, you have Khalil Jacobs, who I feel like you still have a really good shot at, maybe even possibly have the edge over Alabama and Missouri. You still got that spot out there that you can add. You did lose. I say lose. He never made it to campus, which kind of proves the theory that first visit is so incredibly important. But Javion Boog Cole, resting, you know, I can't believe we don't get to add Boog to our team. But he goes ahead. He visits Texas first before he gets to Auburn, commits to Texas, and then obviously cancels his visit to Auburn. So You clearly see you want to add a defensive back. You want to add a linebacker. I think you'd love to get another lineman that may have multiple years to play, maybe either on the defensive line or the offensive line. It's hard to see how you could sell that. And then maybe, you know, if you can find a best available, you know, receiver that doesn't shake up the room and make anybody mad, somebody that can just come help, and maybe a younger guy. You're not at this point in time, your starters are sort of set. Okay. So you're not really going out there trying to find guys that are going to start and are going to, you know, make you like possibly give you another win. Like those guys aren't out there right now. But what you could find, you know, are guys that can help, you know, it from a depth perspective for injuries and things of that nature. Khalil Jacobs is probably the closest one that you could bring in that I feel like possibly has a chance to start and be really good. I think that's probably the one name that sort of popped that we're really in the mix for that, you know, could possibly raise the ceiling. you know, instead of raise the floor, it possibly could raise the ceiling. So you're just not going to find those guys. Your last 80 through 85 dudes on the roster typically are not going to be guys that are going to increase your total win count. So they may help prevent some losses. They may help prevent some losses if you have some injuries and things of that nature. But right now you're just trying to fill up your scholarships, get what you can get in the era of the portal where kids want to play now. So it's tough, but, you know, again, if we can add two or three more and get to that 81, 82 mark as far as scholarship goes, and then give your, you know, three or four scholarships to walk-ons, I think that's fine. You know, go give Towns Magoo a dang scholarship. That kid needs a scholarship, the kicker that kicked 100 field goals in A-Day. So, yeah, that's probably what you're going to see as far as how the rest of the portal moves on. Hasn't been a total lot of buzz about new names. Seems like Khalil Jacobs is the one hot name out there that we're trying to close. And then, you know, I guess anybody could kind of pop up, like this Ronan Chambers could kind of pop up out of nowhere. But I'll try to keep you posted when something like that happens. All right, before we move on to basketball, we got to give a shout out to Plains Coffee. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off every single order for the rest of your life. Stop going. Wasting your time in the grocery store. Stop wasting your time going to, you know, Sam's Club, whatever, getting that coffee that sits on the shelf for months. Get you some freshly ground coffee literally days before it ships. You can smell it from the mailbox sent to your door. Get it recurring. You know how much coffee you drink. If you go through a bag in a week, man, go ahead and set that thing up to deliver weekly, and you're going to get 10% off every single time. So remember that. Check them out, plainscoffee.com. And if you're not a coffee person, they got tees too. All right, basketball talk. So you had obviously your big target for your backup guard was going to be Duke Miles. He commits to Oklahoma. He still hasn't signed, which I see a lot of people talking about that. He hasn't signed. Well, signing doesn't really even mean a ton when they do, because if it's not like high school. In high school, when they're signing day, it's a binding agreement between the player and the school. In other words, if he signs that paper in high school, he has to be at either go into the portal to transfer, or he has to be asked to be let out of his letter of intent, you know, be let out of that signing. Really in the portal, which I think this is one of the big weaknesses of the portal and something that's got to be fixed, is a player can sign a financial agreement with as many schools as he wants. He could go to every single visit, he could sign a financial aid agreement. And, you know, we kind of had one like this. The center, I don't know if you remember, there was a center, I think his name was Ben Davis from Arizona State. We were really high on. It was right when Hugh got here. He actually signed papers on his visit. But then, you know, that's why you saw a lot of predictions. Like, I think Jeffrey Lee put him at 100%, you know, 10 out of 10 confidence, because he signed those papers. We didn't really know that when you sign those papers, it's not 100% binding on the player side. They can sign with a school, and the only thing it does is guarantees that scholarship should that child choose to go to your school. So if Duke Miles has signed, even that really doesn't mean a ton. So even if he has signed, it's not like it's binding until he really enrolls. But it does kind of seem like we've moved on, you know, from him. And I'm not 100% sure that his, you know, the crazy NIL offer that he was put out that Oklahoma threw out there, I'm not 1,000% sure that thing may be as legit as he think it is, which may be why he's holding off signing, even though the signing is only essentially ceremonial at this point. It's nothing that's binding. So maybe watch out for Duke. I think based off of moving on and scheduling a visit with another highly rated, very, very talented guard in Jordan Ivey Curry, I don't know that the Duke Miles thing, even if he really wanted to, would be something that could happen. So I've seen that talk. Again, I obviously you can't 100% close the door on it, but I'm not 1,000% sure that even if I don't think it's significant. Let's just say that. I don't think it's very significant that he hasn't signed, because even if he has signed, there's nothing binding. So I'm not all the way there that's an option moving forward, even if, like I said, even though he hasn't signed. So the big reason why I don't think that's an option is because of the official visit scheduled with Jordan, Ivy, Curry. I made the joke on Locked On Auburn as Steph Curry's cousin. And obviously I have no idea if that's true, and more than likely it's not true, but he shoots like Steph Curry, shoots threes at a very high clip. And he has for essentially every year that he's played college basketball. Great from the line, lot of points, big time score. This is the most significant thing to me. And I mentioned this on Locked On Auburn, but I'm going to mention it again in case you missed it. When I first saw this kid's name pop up, I looked at him, and you see 4 years playing a ton of minutes for 4 years. And then all of a sudden, his last year, you know, his last season available, why would he come play just a backup? Why would he come be, you know, a backup point guard, and essentially reduce his minutes? Well, then you look at his record last year. He started zero games, but played 27 minutes a game. So he has no issue coming off the bench. And another thing is, he didn't just play point guard. He played shooting guard. He played small forward. He did a little bit of everything when it comes to recruiting. When it comes to basketball, he played all three of those guard positions. And I think at his size, at 6'3", you know, that gives him the flexibility, even at Auburn, that he could possibly play backup point guard for 5 or 6 minutes a game. Go play the shooting guard for, you know, 5 or 6 minutes a game. Go play the small forward 5 or 6 minutes a game. Now you're talking, you know, you're getting up towards that 20 to 20 plus minute plateau in the SEC on a team that could possibly make a run for back-to-back SEC, you know, championships, or maybe even make you better for March when you get into tournament time. So again, I think this is one that's interesting to watch. I'm sold on this kid. I'm 100% sold on this kid, to the point where it's going to hurt my feelings. It's going to hurt my feelings if we don't land him. I think he is a perfect addition, and I think that's why you're seeing, you know, Auburn, you know, not 100% devastated that the Duke Miles thing, you know, didn't work out like you did. You find a guy that's okay with coming off the bench, and when he does come off the bench, he can still play, he can still score, and he can score from a lot of different ways. So Jordan Ivy Curry, I think he's going to be here on Thursday. We'll kind of see if we can get a, you know, sneak peek on how the visit's going. He's either going to be here Wednesday or Thursday. So we'll see how that goes, but that's a very interesting prospect. And typically when you get a visit, it's serious. It's serious. And I think, you know, it is the last visit though, so we got to dodge a lot of bullets between Wake Forest and UCF up until then. A visit's great, but the last visit in the era of the portal, it makes you nervous, because you could have a, you know, Javion Bugh-Cole situation where UCF or Wake Forest may be more desperate to have a kid like this, and they could possibly end it. So, but I think he wants to hear out Auburn, see the plan that they have for him. I just love the flexibility of having another 6'3 guard that can play multiple positions and shoot the three, man. Can you run? Can you shoot the three? And, again, he's also a pretty good defensive player too, you know. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I like the idea of adding this kid as your last guard, and you can sort of platoon it from those 1 through 3 positions. You can kind of platoon, and a lot of those dudes are interchangeable, intermixable. So that'll be a fun one to watch. So Jordan Ivy Curry, be on the watch for how that visit goes. Another one that Auburn's working to land a visit for, and supposedly a visit's sort of been committed to, but it hasn't been scheduled yet. One of the most intriguing guys to enter the portal, and a guy that may have, you know, he has at least 2 years to play at Auburn. If he's not so good that he could make the draft next year. But from right down the road, Akor, I think that's how you pronounce his name. it's so nice. You have to say it twice. A power forward from Samford. If you noticed, if you remember in the NCAA tournament, you know, Samford gave Kansas all they wanted, and this guy gave Kansas all they wanted. 23 points, 6'9", 227, and shoots 43% from three. And we're not talking about just going like, you know, hitting just a handful of threes on the year, and then that ends up being, you know, that ends up being his, you know, percentage, how that percentage works out. Like, he didn't just hit 4 of 10, you know, that's not what it is. He hit 27 threes last year, 27 of 62 for 43% from three. Give me that. You know, if you got a power forward that can pop out and shoot, you know, one or two threes a game, and he's going to hit one of them, at least you would think, a very good chance to hit at least one of them. Like, that's big. That gives you all the spacing that you need. That just creates a lot of problems. And him, I love Chaney. Okay, I love Chaney, but I think this guy may have a little bit higher ceiling even than Chaney, even as well as Chaney started to play towards the end of the year. So if you had any kind of question mark that you could kind of put on this roster, it was at that power forward position, because you're depending on a jump, because Chaney's got to replace Jalen, who had an unbelievable NBA prospect level year last year. Okay, so you got to jump from where you were, which is good, a good development track, but you got to jump from there to replace Jalen just to be kind of like a status quo at that position. I think this guy has a little bit more of an opportunity to fill that void right away. He averaged 16 points a game at Samford, 6 rebounds, shot 58% from the field, and like I said, 43%. From three, pretty decent free throw shooter, 70%, not great, 71%, not great, but pretty decent free throw shooter as well. And rotation of a three-man rotation of that four, a four-man rotation of that four and five of Broom, Cardwell, Chaney, and Akor could be something very fun to watch, something extremely fun to watch, but we'll have to see if a date officially gets locked in. We've heard that there's going to be a visit locked in. We don't have the official date. And as far as we know, you look and there's not a ton of teams that are sort of involved with him right now. So it almost makes you wonder if, you know, he went into the portal with the idea of possibly going to Auburn. Again, that's speculation. I think there's probably still going to be some guys that are involved, Louisville. Per Justin Hokanson, you know, Louisville and K-State are looking at him, even though there's not a lot of articles out there about it. There's not a lot of visit stuff scheduled. There's not any visits scheduled with him, at least at this point. So if you land those two kids, if you land Jordan Ivy Curry, if you land Akor, this roster is better than last year's roster, hands down. Like, it might be better already, but when you go – The starting five, I feel like, is better. But if you go down to the second, the two deep, and all the different options that you could have, if you add those two guys, holy cow, the different rotations. The big thing is you're getting to a point now where when you start subbing, you're not sacrificing offense, because every single dude in your two deep can score. So that's what you like. That's what you like to see. Sans maybe Dylan Cardwell. He's never really going to be a offensive threat. You put him in there to be able to protect the rim, change the game, and he'll make some plays in his 15, 16 minutes that he'll play. He's going to make some plays. I joked about his per 40 stats, which are, what's funny, is very similar to the per 40 stats of Clifford the Big Red Dog that just committed to Alabama, that's supposed to be, you know, change the world of basketball at Alabama. And you look at their per 40 stats and they're almost the same, because he's not really an offensive threat either. So, again, you do have a visit locked in with Jordan Ivy Curry. You have a visit commitment out of Akor. You don't have a date yet. So let's see if that date gets set. And if it does, holy cow, man. If you add these two dudes, go ahead and maybe start looking at tickets somewhere, Final Four, Elite Eight, whatever, because this is going to be a very, very fun roster if they all come together. Guys, I really appreciate it. Action-packed show today. Love it when you get a surprise commitment late at night, and that basically gives you all the content that you need to talk about. I love being able to talk about commitments, love being able to talk about stuff like that, and this is the prime season for it. And that's probably going to be a lot of what these shows are moving forward, is a lot of recruiting heavy because, you know, football's over. The portal's about to be over, and it's going to be a lot of high school recruiting and stuff like that moving forward. So, again, I really appreciate you guys listening. This is episode 39. Like, subscribe, like this video, subscribe to this channel, follow me on social. It's right here, Charlie_5. And we'll catch you We'll catch you on Thursday and see what pops up. So you never know. You could have another surprise commitment. But again, thanks for listening. Episode 39 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.